This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash, they spice it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. My flavor that I've been enjoying the most lately is the wild berry. Keep one on your desk. You'll be hydrated in no time. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches Media presents
Ha Ha Laugh Funny
Mention It All, a Bravo by Betches podcast.
We don't say that, but now we said it.
With Dylan Hafer.
Who gonna check me, boo?
And Barry Rosenfeld.
I need to start drinking alcohol.
Now go to sleep, wig.
Hey everyone, welcome back to the Mention It All podcast. I'm Dylan Hafer.
And I'm Barry Rosenfeld. And I gotta say, I want to know if you agree with me.
You must say.
I must say, this week has gone by very fast.
Okay.
Do you agree? Compared to the last few weeks.
I don't honestly, this week feels like a blur, which maybe means that it's gone by quickly, but also yes. I just think means that my brain is just sizzled to a crisp.
Maybe.
It's funny, we haven't recorded since I did an Instagram Live with hypnotist Kimberly Friedmutter on Tuesday. And that feels like it was 1,000 years ago.
But it was, I kept getting scared. I kept going in and out of the live because I was like, I don't want to wait for the wrong time. So I kept coming in out. But she seems very nice, a very sweet person.
She was lovely to talk to. She actually, I'm the kind of person where I'm super skeptical and I'm not into spiritual energy, mm-hmm. Any of that stuff. But hypnotism is a little different than that because it's not the same as being psychic or
medium,
being a medium or something. Yeah. It's more just about using your mind in a different way. And I really enjoyed some of the things she had to say. She gave us some behind the scenes little tidbits about the day she filmed for Salt Lake City, which I thought was really interesting. And I've been trying her sleep technique and I feel like I need to try it a little more, but.
I don't think it worked. Typically doesn't work after one round, but I hope it works. Cause if it does.
When she was walking me through it on live, I did feel very relaxed. And it was I felt something. I just have to force myself to commit to it if I want to do it on my own at night. Yeah. I don't know. I also just watch too many TikToks in bed. So it's hard for me to fall asleep.
Yeah.
Let's get into today because we have a lot to talk about. We are, of course, going to talk about the Salt Lake City reunion. But before that, let's chat about Below Deck. Namely, I feel like this week, it's all about Elizabeth. She's really going through it. She had the worst 30th birthday ever. And now she is just in full state of delusion about her relationship with James. And it's kind of tough to watch.
It is one of the hardest things to watch because whenever anyone's in a relationship and you're in the midst of a breakup and you just aren't on the same page, that's what we were watching. But it was I was texting Dylan. It couldn't have been more obvious that James isn't interested. And as much as we've seen James be nice and then an asshole and then whatever, he's actually not being mean right now. I feel like he literally doesn't know what else to do to show her. He hasn't even spoken to her. And she's do you want to go on a trip? Do you have to go back to work? I'm not saying we move in, but do you think we should travel? And he was no, I don't think that's a good idea.
I think you're right that it's James has been kind of a dick to her. He hasn't been super great about this whole situation, but we're at the point where if Elizabeth still can't take the hint at this point, it's not James's fault. Maybe he hasn't gone about it. He hasn't gone about it in the nicest, most gentlemanly way, but he hasn't also been leading her on this whole time. The leading on ended 3 episodes ago. We all knew.
Totally. And I do have to say, because now I was kind of sticking up for Elizabeth a few weeks ago, even though I was fully aware she wasn't good at her job. I was just kind of giving her the benefit of the doubt, even after the mustard, what was that called?
The
mustard gas situation. Why is it though? Because Francesca, you know, just gets on my nerves. Why is it that no one has like put her on the hot seat? Like, I don't understand why it's like just Elizabeth. Like, we see Francesca and Rachel get into it yet again, and it's Francesca who messed up. Like, why is she always like getting away with everything?
I think it's hard when it's the chief stew that's fucking up, because like on Below Deck Med, we've seen Captain Sandy really micromanage Hannah.
Right.
But I think for the most part, a captain probably isn't really going to get involved unless there's a major issue that is brought to their attention. And so, you know, Rachel and Francesca are having all these issues, but honestly, like, I mean, Captain Lee has been made aware of it in some sense, but it's not like Rachel is, or it's not like Francesca is like doing some fireable offense. It's just like they keep having these communication issues. So I think it's hard when you're the chief stew, like, unless you're doing something so bad that needs to be reported to the captain, it's like there's nobody really to tell you to do your job better.
Well, and you know it gets bad now going back to Elizabeth, because she stayed on the boat because Francesca was like, there's no fucking way in hell you're coming with us to this beach picnic.
You're not coming to the beach picnic.
She stayed on and she used it as like a day off. I don't know what's wrong with like this girl really. And she was like nicely asked Captain Lee if she can use the slide. And
Captain Lee, is it okay if I, do you think it's okay if I go on the water slide? And he's like I guess if you finish all your work.
Do your job.
Yes. There's like a pile of dishes in the sink. So Elizabeth is just like, to me, I think she actually has been pretty great TV this season, but it's like she is objectively bad at her job.
Oh, yeah.
And so it is no surprise at the end of the episode, Francesca has wanted her gone for charters upon charters.
Well, it was a surprise to someone.
Oh my God. Elizabeth. So Elizabeth gets called to the captain's sun deck bridge. I don't know. I'm still captain's bad at boat room. Words. And Elizabeth is like, oh, like, okay, yeah, I'll go up. And it's funny because everybody else on the boat is like, there she goes. Like, it's happening. And she goes in and Francesca starts talking. She's like, so, you know, we've come to a decision. There's just been too many mistakes. And like, blah, 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 blah. And Elizabeth's, the look on her face is like, it's like she's having her pet puppy, like, taken away from her. And she's like, no, like, oh my God, like, what? And it's like, Elizabeth, come on.
Okay, but at the same time, now that we've gotten to know her a little, she really had no idea, Dylan, like, she had no idea she was doing anything wrong. Like, not a clue.
It's funny because she's like, yeah, I mean, I know, I feel like she, if she was doing like an exit interview, she would be like, well, I mean, yeah, like, I know I was like, I had sex in the guest cabin and I did the mustard gas and I know I like slept late and I forgot to do this chore and this and this and this, but like, I didn't do anything wrong.
Wait, that's so good. But also I know I have said this in the past too, where Francesca is just so fed up with her. Like today, we even saw her ignore her when she was like, Elizabeth set up the table for breakfast and she's like, yeah, I like never have done this before. So like, does the fork go there? Like her first time doing that. And Francesca just blatantly ignored her. But like, Francesca, tell her what to do.
I think it's clearly
you
like,
don't know what you don't know.
Francesca's management is lacking a little bit, but it's also totally the kind of thing where it's like, Elizabeth is past the point of no return, but Francesca's not really like making an effort anymore.
Yeah.
Whatever. We have supposedly two charters left, but next week is the season finale. So I believe we have pushed up against the boundaries of COVID and the season is going to come to an unceremonious end. But
well, we also see next episode, like the firing goes a little bit further and Francesca
Elizabeth has not left the boat. Yeah, so
we love to see all the people who get fired and quit from this show and stay on the boat. And we're like, no, you have to go.
It's actually funny because she got fired. There's supposed to be two charters left, but because the season got cut short, she's in every episode. She doesn't actually leave before the end of the season. Imagine upgrading your wardrobe with luxury essentials at unbeatable prices.
Quince is here to transform the way you shop with a range of high-quality items priced within reach. We have just entered spring, and while I don't love that the weather outside is still a little bit cold, you know the silver lining of that is that I have had a few more chances to wear my Quince cashmere before it gets too warm, and I just love throwing that on, whether it's by itself, a little layering moment with a t-shirt under, with a jacket over, with a bigger coat over. The cashmere is the perfect thing to just add to any outfit to make it look a little more pulled together. And the way that Quince prices their items, it doesn't feel like it has to be this wild thing that you're splurging on. It is so nice to have those pieces in your wardrobe that feel luxurious, but come at a price point that you can stomach. It's 100% Mongolian cashmere sweaters, starting at just $50. They also have organic cotton sweaters, washable silk tops, and also timeless 14-karat gold jewelry. And the best part is that all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of middlemen and passes the savings on to us. Indulge in affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/mention for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/mention to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/mention.
Let's talk about Real Housewives of Dallas. Okay. I thought this week was a little bit of a slowdown from last week's episode. There was a little less going on. You know, we see Deandra with her shaman. We see Stephanie going way over budget with her charity. But it mostly boils down to Tiffany Moon's pizza party.
Oh, totally. To be honest, I can definitely do without any more scenes of Deandra and the shaman. Like, I just
Darren the shaman, like, yeah, sucking, like, the boogers out of her nose.
Tiffany's pizza party has proven to me that I will choose to never go to a party or anything at Tiffany's home, because let me tell you what she started off with by saying, which I forgot to mention. I know we talked about Summer House last week, but something I forgot to bring up, which Tiffany also mentioned too. Ciara mentioned that she's not a girl's girl, which to me was an automatic red flag. Tiffany this week didn't say she wasn't a girl's girl. She just said she grew up not having a group of girlfriends because she was studying. And let me just tell you, goes for guys too. In my opinion, that's it's just weird because she's on the show now which I love that she's really trying to get that right now, but she doesn't know etiquette. Yeah,
I think
that we learned at a young age.
I think there's a difference in the way Ciara was saying, I'm not a girl's girl. I do think there's a difference between that and Tiffany. Cause I think Tiffany comes more from how her upbringing was. Like, I think it's partially a cultural thing that it's her focus in school wasn't on, you know, having a group of friends. It was studying and all of that. Yeah. But that being said, I do think she needed to watch a few more episodes of Housewives before she threw a Housewives party.
My God.
Okay. I will say, first of all, I don't have any issue with her setting an end time to the party.
I do. Okay, keep going. I'll tell you.
I think based on her situation, you know, she works a lot. She has a very different, without placing a value judgment on it, she has a very different way of life and work situation than most of these other women. Mm-hmm. I think it's perfectly fine to set the expectation. She wasn't the party started, I think, at 7. It wasn't you're only allowed in my house for an hour, whatever. And I think it was a little, I understand if that's not normally how these women have these events, but I think they blew it a little out of proportion before they even got there.
I see what you're saying, but I agree with the other women only because there are other ways for her to go about it. Like Cameron said, say it in the original text. Be like, hey, I'm having a pizza party from 7 to 10:30. Absolutely, totally normal, totally fine. Or when you're at the actual party, be like, hey, guys, just when you want them to leave, just be like, let's wrap it up, whatever. But to send a text message to a group of women, telling them when they have to go home. And here's your third option. Move it to another night when you can have fun and let your hair down and have a good time. I don't know. I just feel
I just think if it's a,
was it a big
if
deal?
It's a weeknight
and was it weird?
If it's a week, yes. That's the thing for me is I get that the women are this isn't normally how we do it. What does she mean? She has a life, but I think it was like a little stupid that they were getting like up in arms about it when it's like, just go to the fucking party. Like, do you really want to be at Tiffany's house longer than 3.5 hours for this pizza party? Like,
no, I agree in the sense where like Carrie looks at these types of nights out as like raging and like in, and maybe that's how Tiffany was like looking at it where she's like, this is a pizza party. How can I let these women know that we're not drinking tequila till 3 a.m.? Because Carrie's like, ooh, night out. Like, let's go. She's like, no, we're just having dinner. So like,
right. It's like, it's literally like it's dinner. And I mean, like she's serving wine. Like, it's not like it's like some
a dry
weird
party. Sort,
like,
yeah.
Like, but they're acting like every time they're in a group setting is like tequila. And it's like, just chill. Like you're like, not to age shame or anything, but it's like, Carrie, you're 50. Like, just go to dinner. Like,
right. And yes. And so then we all get to, I always say we, like I was there and we all get there. And
as a group, we got to the house.
There are shoe covers, which I am familiar with. Like I used to work at a daycare and in the infant room, you got to put your shoe covers on. But have them at the door or have your husband who is greeting the women at the door to explain it to them. Like, that's not the women's fault to be trekking through her house, like without the shoe covers on. But the way she like, the way she reacted, you can tell she was tense. Like each thing that happened, she was not used to having people in her home, which again, also not that like typical. She wants her house as a museum, which don't we all? But people go into museums, just letting you know. Like, they enter.
I mean, to me, I totally get the thing of being, you know, if you don't have people over a lot, being like a little apprehensive, having a little social anxiety. But I do think she was kind of like setting herself up for not failure, but like for not the best situation. It was just, I think it's perfectly acceptable to have boundaries when people are coming into your home. But it was just like, it was like a few too many rules when she was like, you know, if you're going in the bathroom, put the shoe cover on, blah, 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 blah. Like, it was like what? And then when they were doing the pizza making contest, it was like, it was what we were talking about with Atlanta, where when you're trying to have organized fun and it's like, just let people make the fucking pizzas. You don't have to say who's having a bite of who's like,
because
just have fun.
She was almost making it seem like that was a table of 6-year-olds. And she's like, guys, listen, like you're going to make the pizza. And they all the, I loved when they went to each of the women's face and they're like, we got it. We know. And then when she said that,
if there's a table of toppings and everybody has a pizza dough, you know what to do with that.
When she said that everyone needs to take a bite of every single pizza and Cameron was like, that's a lot of pizza.
And Tiffany's like, Cameron, like a bite.
But like,
and she's like, oh, okay.
Tiffany was also a little, I know she was excited. Listen, I totally get it. Like that was a lot for her, a pizza party at her house. I don't know. I've had more people in my apartment in the city, not for a pizza party,
but you weren't filming for a TV show and it was these particular group of women coming over.
She was like, okay. And she was getting like excited at random times. And I was like, wow, like this is her big night. Like good for her.
That's the thing for me is I think Tiffany definitely made some missteps in this episode, but I think everything she was doing was coming from a place of, she was like overthinking wanting it to be the best event. Yep. I think she had good intentions. And the only thing that I think she really did like wrong was the cricket thing. I just think she shouldn't have done it, especially after,
I mean, yeah,
the chicken foot fallout, which we know was more than it needed to be. Cameron was like really stuck on it for a few weeks, but it's just like, why go there? Like that, just don't,
it was
just
not like, funny.
Leave the food out of it. Like there's nothing wrong with eating crickets, but there's also nothing wrong with not wanting to eat crickets. Like,
yeah, I also have to say, I noticed that all of the toppings were in like takeout containers, those plastic like containers. And I noticed that Deandra walked in with one with a bow on it. So I thought that she like brought something as a gift, like in a takeout container. And I was like, what is that? But then I was like, oh my God, Deandra definitely brought like a topping And
there's
I
your
was,
sausage, Tiffany.
Yeah. Wait, but so
have I, you noticed? Have you noticed in the opening credits this season that DeAndra's voice in her tagline is like an octave lower than it usually is?
Oh no! Like
Dallas girls are sugar and spice.
Oh
I'm
my
still
god!
Working on nice.
Oh my god! No, wait, but the whole cricket thing, like that. Yeah, that was uncalled for, and I don't think Brandy throwing up was exaggerated. I think that would happen to like normal people. I think what was exaggerated was Carrie going like back and forth and announcing it to the entire table that she's seriously throwing up. Like I agree. I know. Yeah, I do.
You know, like your reaction is your reaction. Honestly, I think Tiffany should have waited and texted them like the next day or something rather than saying it at the table. Also,
about telling them that the crickets.
Yeah, because then. Nobody knew. That's the thing. Like Brandy wasn't throwing up because it tasted gross. She was throwing up because of the idea of it.
Right.
And okay. But also people did point out, I posted about this on Instagram. I believe Brandy was like pretty newly pregnant at that time. I'm not sure if she knew she was pregnant. The women, obviously not everyone didn't know she was pregnant, but that is something to consider when you're talking about somebody's digestive issues.
Yeah.
But you know, overall, I think Tiffany means well. I just think she's trying a little too
she's
hard.
Learning.
And she needs to just like let loose a little bit and not try to control the situation so much. And I will be extremely interested to see how that goes on the trip to Austin, which is starting next week.
Which I'm really like wish I was going to. I wonder if they're going to Lake Travis because that's like the lake everyone goes to with all the boats. And
that's where they went season one. When
I don't remember
when Leanne Locken famously said she was going to gut Marie like a fish.
Got it. I love we love threats on Housewives.
We like... love threats on Housewives.
Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have questions about your credit card? Well, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Splash Refreshers are the delicious zero-calorie beverage I'm reaching for again and again when I'm feeling thirsty for something flavorful. I believe in the three beverage rotation on my desk at all times. One for caffeinating, one for hydrating, and one for fun. But Splash spices it up by putting the fun and hydration in one. I don't have to dread my 8 cups of water a day. I just drink Splash and like it. Lately, my go-to office beverage has been the Splash Wild Berry flavor. It's so nice to just put a few in the fridge at the beginning of the week, grab one whenever you want something nice and refreshing. It's just the right amount of flavor, just the right amount of sweetness. You know the vibes. When you want something refreshing, when you want something hydrating, Splash is the perfect thing to reach for. It perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. And it's available in 5 craveable flavors. Wild Berry, that's my favorite, Acai Grape, Pineapple Mango, Lemon, and Mandarin. Mandarin Orange. It's there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Okay, we got to get to this Salt Lake City reunion. This was a doozy of a part one. I feel like the hour went by so fast because it was just like it was like a ping pong game, like back and forth, so much going on. Everybody came prepared. I thought everybody came ready to go. And interestingly, this would not have been my expectation. I feel like the most reserved person at part one of the reunion is Jen Shah.
Was Jen, yeah.
She says that we're going to get Zen Jen, and perhaps we got a little bit of Zen Jen. I don't think it's going to stay that way all three parts.
I do not think it's going to last past part one, but I think she probably had a talking to before the reunion and was
I think she probably had a Coach Shaw pep talk
and watched season.
Yeah. I think she went in with probably a few kind of like key points, and one of them was like, don't do that. don't do that thing. I have to say also, before we get into specific things, I was really impressed with Ms. Mary M. Cosby. I thought she's
my favorite person, like in
after essentially disappearing for the second half of the season, I thought she reappeared and reasserted herself. And I think she's doing a good job. A lot of the time, it's tough if you're at the reunion and you're not involved in a lot of the individual conversations. But I think she found a lot of opportunities to sort of get in there. And, you know, whether it was making commentary or kind of just little asides or, like, you know, getting involved in other people's conflict, there is an art to that without feeling like, you know, because do you remember at last year's New Jersey reunion, it felt like Jennifer was like inserting herself into every conversation and just like couldn't stop talking.
Yeah.
There's that way to do it. And then I think Mary did it correctly, where it's like you make your presence known and you find little openings to get in there, but it never felt like she was trying to talk over everyone else.
Not at all. I have never doubted Mary. I've talked about her the entire season. Of course, the beginning, we're like, what the hell's up with this woman? And I really, really enjoy her. She, you know, it's funny that you just said that. You could tell throughout it because she was being pretty genuine. She was like, my feelings were hurt. Like, why do I make you so mad? Like, why do I? And we don't know if Jen and Mary have ever talked after the season. We don't know if this is the first time they saw each other. They're sitting next to each other.
Yeah.
And she was saying little comments throughout the entire reunion, which I thought was the funniest thing in the world. But I think she was doing it on purpose to try to get a minor reaction out of Jen, knowing they were at the reunion and like Jen couldn't do that.
It's okay. You mentioned that they're sitting next to each other. The seating chart for this reunion is bizarre because we have Lisa and Meredith are on opposite sides.
Right.
Lisa and Mary are sitting next to each other and they are going at it.
Right.
The only people sitting next to each other that really make sense are Whitney and Heather. And it's like, I mean, I guess they're all sitting far enough apart that because of COVID that it's like, it's not like you have to share a couch with your enemy, but it is funny that it's like Lisa and Meredith are so far away from each other.
I do have to say something about reunions in general. Like last one was obviously the freshest, so it reminded me. And it's different because COVID, they're not on a couch, so they are very far away from each other. I don't like when the camera shows one person at a time because you don't know what they're reacting to. It's totally an editing thing. Like you don't know if they're reacting to what that person speaking is saying right now. Like I wish we can see the scene, but obviously when they were very far apart, you can't. They had to like zoom up from the top.
I love, there were some really great moments in the Southern Charm reunion also where they did like a 3-person split screen and some of those reaction shots were like incredible.
Yeah, Heather. Heather's the queen of reactions.
Heather is
show.
Like
Heather's
I
a
feel
queen
like
in general.
Heather is listening to everyone talk at this reunion with a very like, okay, oh, like if that's what you're going with, sure. Like
she has Heather, such good comebacks and like responses to everything.
I was not expecting Heather and Lisa to go at it the way they did in this first part of the reunion. I know you have a lot of thoughts about Lisa, yep. So let's talk about her. Lisa, to me, came in almost more with the energy that I expected Jen to have at the reunion, where she feels like everything she's saying, like she's basically like written herself a script for like how she's going to go after everyone. Mm-hmm. And that she's like, it's coming across maybe a little too much, but I personally enjoy it because I think you can tell that she is like hungry at this reunion. And she's like, I'm going to talk about this. I'm ready. And like, I don't think she's always right, but I appreciate the energy.
I agree with you in the sense that she came in hungry, but like chill, there's no reason for that. Like she came in wanting to fight with people as opposed to just sitting and letting it happen. And like she made herself the one that was arguing and fighting with everyone on the stage. And the thing is with her is that anytime anyone said something to her, I can't stand when people do this. Like Whitney, for example, was like, you're dismissive. And she goes, you're dismissive. Like she uses, yeah. I hate when people use the same word. She did it like 4 times.
Also,
she was
when Heather said that she was traumatized by Lisa and Lisa goes, well, I'm traumatized by you.
You traumatized. Yeah. I was like,
you
Lisa,
traumatized me. And it's like Lisa, like Lisa Barlow is many things, but I don't think she's traumatized by Heather Gay.
Also, and then she was just going at people, making comments, and then she gets even, I just think she's very rude. And so she even gets ruder, we see next episode, which we'll obviously talk about. But she was like coming for Whitney so politely, as usual, was like, you, I don't think you're jealous of me. I think you just like talk down to me, basically. And Lisa was like, I don't do that. Mm-hmm. But then she was saying how Whitney shouldn't have been like twerking and whatever in front of the husbands. And then they both at the same time go, who are you doing splits in front of? And they did the flashback of her then, doing splits. And then Lisa's response was, I do splits. Like, I wasn't twerk. Like, stop, Lisa. Like,
I only, she tweeted, I only twerk for JB, which is like
stop.
These women are actually, I think they have a really great live tweet game. Like, Meredith, I think, is very interesting on Twitter. We talk a lot about, we have a lot of Jen and Meredith back and forth in this first part of the reunion.
Sorry, I just have to say it. I have never in my life seen someone who wants to be less involved in a show than Meredith, and I would not be mad. I'm putting it on record right now if she didn't come back next season. I'm over her.
I feel the opposite. I think Meredith's energy is important because she has this like calm rage that,
but like it's enough because she doesn't say anything. Like she like is so closed. She's like, she wouldn't even talk about like the cigarette. Andy was like trying to get her. She's like, do you smoke? And she was like,
yes,
occasionally.
Okay. So let's talk about that. So we're talking about Jen and Meredith, and a lot of their issues come back to Jen's interactions with Brooks, both on social media and on the show. And so they're talking about this night when Jen came over and Brooks and Chloe were there, and they alleged that they saw Jen's vagina and were so uncomfortable and blah, 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 blah. And Jen is like, well, I was there. And the only reason Brooks was uncomfortable was because he went upstairs and you were smoking. And we're like, I'm watching this and I'm like, okay. Like, I didn't know that Meredith smoked, but it doesn't seem like some big bombshell to me.
Like, and, who cares?
And then all of a sudden it's like, do you smoke? And she's like, I mean, occasionally, you know, I might have three drinks and then I'll have a cigarette. Like, and all of a sudden Meredith is like, Jen, you took a video of me smoking a cigarette. Like, it's some, like, that's some big, big blackmail secret that I have a video of you with a cigarette. And it's like, like,
she also, no, like, anytime, so I know it was kind of weird. I was like, what were you? Were you smoking something other than a cigarette? Like, what's the big deal? I don't even understand.
It became very clear that they were talking about cigarettes.
No, like, she was making it seem. But Andy, even anytime he asked a question, she was like, I disagree. That's not true. And that's the only thing she said the entire episode. I was like a little disappointed. And I do have to say, I'm not Team Jen ever, but last night was very funny when they were talking about Brooks Marks tracksuits. Mm-hmm. And they were like, you went after my child, blah, blah, blah. And Jen, dead serious, goes, no, but like, it was a there was one tracksuit. And then Meredith goes, it was one tracksuit. Like, it was factual. And then they go to Mary and Mary goes, no, but they were a little different, right? Like, they were stitching. Like, it was just like the funniest, like, underrated
Mary
part.
Honestly, like, as much as I think Mary is like a shady character in a lot of stuff that we haven't really seen on the show, she comes across very like sort of naive and genuine some ways when she's like,
yes,
I thought the tracksuit was, you know, whatever. This whole tracksuit thing is so funny that they bring it up over and over again when Jen is like, you invited me to sleep over, and Meredith is like, I never invited you to sleep over, you passed out and it gave you a Brooks Marks tracksuit to go home the next morning. And it's like, why are we talking about the tracksuit again?
I think Jen kind of caught Meredith in a lie because Meredith caught herself and she goes, I'm not talking about this anymore. And I was like, again, you're not talking about something. So I kind of felt for Jen in that situation, because I was like, I definitely do think Meredith is lying in this situation. Like, I feel like they're getting the nights mixed up. Not a lie, but I think that they're both talking about two different things.
I don't know.
And also, can we stop talking about Brooks and his tracksuit? Like, it's like weird that it's like come up this many times, you know?
I will say though, okay, one final thought about Brooks and
okay,
then we
go
can
ahead.
Move on. I think it frustrates me that they are talking about him being a child because he's 22. He's not a child. And also he was taking a semester off of school and was clearly like willingly showing up to film. They showed his whole fashion show. Like, there is a big difference between talking about him and talking about somebody's like 13-year-old daughter.
Also, like, welcome to the real world. Like, of course he's going to get criticized. She was like, you shouldn't criticize him. You should talk him up. Of course, the world, yes, but you're also going to get criticized, especially in the fashion industry. Hello.
I will say, Meredith posted screenshots. Jen liked a lot of tweets that were like really rude about Brooks.
That's fucked.
Yeah.
Because you don't talk about the children, regardless of their age, that's still her child. So that's
And it's just like, it's one thing to talk about a specific situation, but you don't need to be out here liking tweets that are like, I hate Brooks.
Yeah,
like,
no. Wait, so there are so many little things that happen, but we do have to say that Andy brought up Heather putting Jen in the car when Jen was so drunk, and Heather was like, no, I haven't gotten an apology yet. And Jen goes, I'm sorry, Heather. And Andy was like, Jen, that was not.
I'm sorry, Heather. That was really nice.
That was not heartfelt at all. And then Jen's like, yes, it was. And everyone was like, no, Jen. She was like, Heather, it reminded me of Mean Girls. It was totally Mean Girls. I'm sorry.
And I'm sorry for saying it again now. It was such a weak apology. And I feel like Heather, she says that she wants to be the kind of friend who will always be there for you no matter what, basically, no matter how much she is left behind, how much she feels like Jen has. She says that she thinks Jen traded up for Lisa and Meredith's friendship. And we've talked about how we love Heather. She just deserves so much better. And
yeah.
I thought it was really that Mary was like, that's not friendship. Like, that's not like even like Mary, who seems so like detached from reality sometimes, even can have that read that it's like, that's not how friendship works.
Yeah, and Jen tried going into her, and Mary goes, I don't want to be friends with you. That's the difference. And I was like, oh, Mary, yes.
We've seen Whitney, I think, kind of find her voice a little more and be like, I'm not going to just like, I'm going to speak up about Lisa. Like, I'm not going to put up with her shit. And I hope Heather can channel that energy more, because I'm sure she knows now, but like most of the people watching this show are on her side. And so she's not like she's not some weak person that is like an underdog. It's like, no, like you're the fan favorite. Like,
well, not according to Lisa, where Heather is the reason why everyone's mean to Lisa. And Heather was like, I'm sorry, repeat that one more time. I'm the reason that you're getting like mean DMs. No, Lisa, you did that to yourself.
And I just, one of my favorite moments of the night was when Heather told Lisa, write a book. I won't read it.
She's really funny. Like, but yeah, I think that the women didn't expect for their characters to land. I don't like calling them characters, but you know what I mean? Their characters to land the way they did. Like, I don't think Heather went in knowing she was going to be the fan favorite of the show. I think Lisa definitely went in thinking she's going to be number one. And Meredith, I think, thought she was signing up for a different show.
Jen thought she was going to be the total queen bee.
Yeah.
Lisa, I think, thought she was going to be like the boss bitch. And I mean, like, she is in that. That's like her life. Like, I do believe that she's a successful businesswoman, but like the way she's come off in terms of her personal relationships, it's like, yeah, you do come across as cold. And she's like, I seem cold, but I'm just hardworking. Like, I'm very warm. And it's like, well, we haven't seen that really at all.
Wait, and also that's funny you brought that up, because she kept saying how she's successful. That's how you have to be. And Whitney was like, so you can't be nice to be, there's plenty of set like that. When Lisa said that, I was like, Lisa, stop making it seem like you have to act the way you do to other people to like make it in the world. No,
I actually, I thought it was a nice moment when Andy asked a question about her saying that she doesn't answer the phone for her kids when she's at Sundance. And he asked about, you know, what if they really need her for something? And she got really emotional, and she was like, that's the one thing, like, I love my kids. Like, they're the best thing that's ever happened to me. And I thought that was kind of a refreshing moment from Lisa. And I wish that she would kind of tap into that more. And I mean, at this point, I'm assuming everyone will be back for season 2 if they want to be. And I hope that she kind of lets the show explore that side of her, assuming that that side of her really does exist. Because I think we all get the boss bitch energy from her. And I don't, there's nothing wrong with that. I do enjoy that. I honestly, like, I enjoy Lisa a lot on the show. I think she is a great Real Housewife, but I think she would benefit from portraying herself in a little more well-rounded light when it comes to her family and her relationships.
Yeah. Listen, it was a good first season for them. Everything I say, I don't know them personally. It's just my reaction from the show. I definitely liked her better on the show than in this reunion. I did not like what I saw on this reunion. I really didn't from her.
You know what I
she
didn't like
good,
that
though.
I,
she looked really good.
You know
really
what
good.
I didn't like that I saw? Those what? Orange hands. The orange hands were tough.
Oh my God. Listen. Really tough. I don't spray tan. Like, I don't. Because I'm scarred from, I had a very, 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 very bad experience. Like,
oh no.
Worse than Lisa's hand. Yeah, it was brutal. And I was the maid of honor. I was the maid of honor for my friend's wedding. Like, it was
yes,
really bad. So I felt for her, but it was so bad. Just
yeah.
Don't do the spray tan.
I do appreciate though. Roll footage. She's trying to be the producer.
Wait, and
I think it's so funny.
And Whitney comes with receipts and Andy goes, this was a bad...
you got a bad Xerox, babe.
Xerox? Like, he couldn't read it. I felt so... I was like, Whitney, like, come on. That's so embarrassing.
I love this. I think great start for the reunion.
Yeah.
I'm feeling very good. We have two more parts. And I think it's going to be a good
one. It's going to be wild. Yeah. It's going to be wild.
Anyway, that is our show for today. Thank you so much for listening. We will be back tomorrow. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, follow us on Instagram at Bravo by Betches, and just be cool.
Don't be all like uncool.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you do. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy. Splash perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories. I am going to go grab myself a wild berry splash now that I am done recording, and you should too. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.